want to read you a little story. I've done a little personal Bible. You know I do this right regular, but I do a little personal Bible study sometimes. And most of the time, now, a lot of times there's stuff that comes out of that, and unbeknownst to you even, and various things. And sometimes I even preach some things out of that. But I was doing a little Bible study kind of for my own personal use here a while back. And I was doing it in the book of Acts, actually. I was doing it in the book of Acts, and I'll even tell you what I was doing. I just really felt the need to see how the early church handled the world, handled situations, handled life. Not just the world, but handled life. Because sometimes there's just so much, so much confusion, so much chaos, so much that comes at us. Sometimes it seems hard to know what to do, how to handle this, what to do with that. And it was just not just one thing, but various things. I thought, well, that'd be a good thing. And I felt like the Lord had put that on my heart just to kind of go through. And I didn't read everything in the book of Acts, but I read the stories where the church interacted with culture or interacted with people of that day and the problems, the situations, the issues. I mean, there's issues. There's issues. I wanted to get an idea. I wanted to see how that the early church handled life and handled its issues and handled the various things, the complications and the complexities and all the moving parts and all the mess even. I mean, sometimes life's a mess. But how they handled all that, and not only did they, and this is why, not only did they handle it, they handled it and pulled people from the culture, pulled people from the world in big numbers sometimes, huge numbers. Unchurched sometimes, unchurched cultures would come in droves at times. So not only was it possible to be able to handle the issues and handle the mess, handle the complications, but not only just handle them, but be very successful in what Christ had called them to do. And I just felt that. I sense that because that's my heart. That's what a church's heart. That's what you as believers should be. You should. Sometimes we're on kind of survival mentality. I get that. Sometimes I feel that. I'm like, daggone, I just want to hold on right now. Y'all ever been there? Where so much is, you just like, brace yourself. It's coming, you know, because there's just so much. And sometimes I feel like if I can just survive this little season, but that ain't real. You don't really ever see that out of the new church. You don't really see them ever just going into survival mode to handle issues. I find myself doing that far more than I need to, I believe. So that's what led me. Stirred me. I'm just kind of giving you where this come from. It kind of stirred me to figure out and to watch and to see, because to me that's how they handled issues and the life, and not only handled it, but was so successful at saving souls, so successful of bringing light and salt to their culture, reaching into them, and even in confusing times and touching their life. So tonight, that's kind of where this little segment of scriptures I want to read to you come from. It kind of come out of that study. It's just a little piece of story. It's in Acts chapter 3. And I think Jordy even preached on this right before he left. And I'm sometimes hesitant to try that's just the way I am. I sometimes hesitate to preach right after somebody else just preached something because, you know, I'm just that way. I'm like, well, that's not fresh, Lord. That's not fresh. The Lord said, that's fresh. So right before he left, he preached on Acts 3. But I want to go back. I'm not going to read the whole story, but there's 10 verses here that I want to read tonight, and I want to share with you. And I want you. The reason I told you this, where I got this and how I come about this is I want you to have that mentality tonight. I want you to have the mentality as we read this story. So that you'll be able to view how the early church handled this situation, how they approached it. It's just a good little story, and a lot that comes out of that. But look at Acts 3. We'll read verse 1 down to verse 10, and then we'll pray over it, and we'll ask the Lord. And I'm going to keep you long. This is what the word of the Lord said. I laughed because you grinned at me. If you wouldn't have grinned at me, I wouldn't have laughed. Now everybody thinks he's just lying. No, I really mean that. But you grin. Don't grin. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now Peter, and of course, this is after Pentecost. This is after the Holy Ghost. This is after the empowerment. This is after they've been endued. This is now they're full-fledged witnesses, empowered, boldness, fired up. The Bible says this. Now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See, this already challenges me, and it should challenge you already from what I've even shared with you, of how they handled situations. I see the big gap already in how, you know, we as in this society that we live in. But anyway, and he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and pray. I just bet they did. And they knew. You know why they knew? Because they'd walked by this man. No telling how many services. They'd walked by this same man. Probably trying to ignore him. You know, like you do Santa Claus in Christmas time with the little pot at Walmart. "I don't see the kiddo. I'm just playing with it. I know you don't do that." Don't grin. You make me laugh when you grin. Because they knew that it was he which sat up for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now this story goes on, and Peter uses this as a time to preach and tells and preaches about the one you denied and how God, you know, used him. And he uses this as this is a good sermon starter. How many know this is a good sermon starter? This is excellent, excellent. But I don't want to really deal so much with the sermon tonight. This is Wednesday night, folk. You know, I'm assuming all y'all saved. I'm assuming all y'all love Jesus. I'm assuming all y'all believers. And if you ain't, I hope God convicts you right now and you'll come to the altar anyway tonight and get saved. But I said I'm assuming. I know don't supposed to assume nothing. But we're going to do that tonight just for the sake of time and what I want to bring out of this tonight. So let's pray over this tonight, and I wanted to share with you a little bit how the early church handled this situation and maybe bring some insight that will help us as we move forward in this day and time where we live. Father, I thank you tonight. I love you. I praise you. And I do. I ask for your anointing. I ask for your power. I ask for that same spirit, dear God. I ask for that same empowerment that was upon these New Testament disciples, dear God, these early church disciples, that it would descend in this place tonight, that your spirit would have be poured out even now without measure, Lord. Lord, we're a people that's here tonight. We're a people here that's needy, dear God. We're a people here that's needing from you, dear God. So touch our hearts and our lives. Fill us with what we need tonight. And help us, Lord, to be able to operate and to function, dear God, in the same power in the same glory as these disciples did, that we can affect our world, dear God. That we can move in the midst of the confusion and the mess and the chaos and be able to function in the same way that they did, dear God. And not only survive, dear God, but be victorious and to reach into the lives of people and be successful and to bring them to your great name and for your name's sake. Now, Lord, we love you. Bless your word tonight. Bless this congregation that's here tonight and all the sick folk that ain't here, Lord. And we'll honor you. We'll praise you. All the glory yours. In Jesus' name. All the church agree tonight and say, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Bless his name. Bless his name. We honor him. We praise him. And also pray for Debbie Sarver's dad. That come back to me as we was praying right there. He had surgery on Monday, I believe. Had a kidney took out. And I meant to ask prayer for that tonight. And you know my mind, it's failing me sometimes. But do pray for her. He's doing pretty good. But pray that he gets on better tonight as we go along. So I want to just kind of jump in. Like I said, I kind of give you the gist of why I was studying this little story. And like I said, I usually don't bring my personal studies to a service. But I felt like this would be so, well, I felt like the Lord impressed me that this would be so beneficial. Because I feel like we fail sometimes to understand how to handle certain situations. And this situation that we're going to talk about tonight, it's not for every situation, but it's for a big part of it. And I'm going to show you here in just a minute what I'm talking about. It's for a big chunk. And the way they handled it was a whole lot different than what they handled a lot of other situations, where there were people involved and where there were situations. But I feel like it'll bless your heart tonight with it. Maybe encourage you. Maybe you can help your neighbor, your coworker, your family member, or someone that you'll run into even tomorrow. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. But I want you to get to just kind of bring this story as quick as I can to where I want it to be. And then I just really got one. I got one big thought. That's scary, but I do. I got one big thought tonight. But this man was from his mother's womb lame, the Bible says. Think about that a minute. Probably born that way, or some kind of defect, or maybe something in the born, or maybe something right thereafter. But born lame, and I want you to think about that a minute. Lame, and that, now we'll kind of think about the natural world, but I want you to put one part of your mind's foot. If your mind's got a foot, your mind's foot into the spiritual world too, because I always do that. Because Scripture's like that. Scripture's for sure like that. It wants to have feet in both worlds, I believe, at times. Now, this was a story about a true man in his natural being lame, but this book is so spiritual. It's also about a man who's lame in his spirit, or a man who's lame spiritually. And I just want to tell you something. We all come into this world, every one of us, just like this man. Maybe not naturally. Maybe not naturally. We're not all born lame or with some defect or some inability or something. But in the spirit we do. We all are born with something from the womb because of the fall. And this word lame, you know, it can be used as impotent or weak. But this is the word I like to use, and this is kind of the word of our age. Everybody uses this word a lot now. This man from his mother's womb was dysfunctional. He was not able to function like everyone else. He was unable to function in the world the way he should. And I thought about that. Think about that. In the spiritual, boy, ain't that the truth? We're all born, every one of us, so we're born a little dysfunctional, or maybe a lot. As I'm getting older, I'm discovering that we're a lot more dysfunctional than I thought we were. I used to think I just had some few little problems and a few little issues. I used to think some of y'all just had a few little issues. But I've done come to the place now, the older I'm getting, I'm thinking like, Lord, we are just plumb dysfunctional. That's why this story is good for us today, because here's what I know: the church is going to be dealing with a lot of dysfunction. Believers, you as believers, we're gonna be involved with a lot of dysfunction. Now don't sit out there and act like your family's all that. I know you got crazy uncles and stupid cousins and wild nieces and whatever. Hey, it might even be you. You might be sitting there tonight. But dysfunctional, you know? I feel like we all kind of, and we're born that way. We're born that way. We're born because of sin, because of the fall. I've noticed something in my little grandson. Oh, I know he's sweet as a button. And you can't say this about him, but I can. Because you'll make me mad if you said anything. And me and you'll have problems. But no, really. What I've noticed, that child is so strong-willed, I ain't believe I ever saw. Now, I raised a strong-willed child. I raised a daughter that would look you in the eye and just flat out rebel under the threat of a whooping. Now, I'm going to tell you what, back in we give, still give whoopings. Wasn't no time out. Wasn't no going to take the video game. Oh, no. No, no. We might whip you with the video game. Back then, we jerk you up and whip you with whatever's handy. I'll never forget it. Y'all know which one of my children is strong-willed, don't you? Just checking. I'll never forget. She's my oldest, by the way. She's 32 now, I believe. And that was back when this new age thing was coming about, you know, you don't whip your children and this, that, and another. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll never forget it. She got a good one, because she'd just stand right up. Matter of fact, she'd just look you right in the face and just rebel right against you, knowing it was coming. And I'll never forget it. She would do that. She just didn't have no problem with it. But here's the deal. I've noticed. I got a grandson. Oh my goodness. He's not hardly over a year old yet, and I can see it in him. See the pushback. See, we all come into this world, as sweet as he is, as much as I love him, we all come into this world a little. Now, it can be used as a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Strong-willedness can be a very good plus if you get it under God's leading. You get somebody strong-willed under God's leading, and you got something. That's not going to be my prayer. I say, Lord, you're going to have to spirit baptize this boy at 2 1/2. We're going to have to have him tongue talking before he can talk English. I want to hear him speak in tongues before he can even talk in English, Lord, because it's going to be dear right here. But we do. We all come with it. But now think about this. Not only that, but then we're as children, we're kind of in families and we're in neighborhoods and we're in schools. I don't know about you. Now that I look back on it, I can see the dysfunction in a lot of the areas of my childhood life, of those that I were around, the schools, the systems, family issues. Now I thought most of my family, and I'll tell you this right now, most of my family were excellent, but I still know even those that I put halos on, they had some dysfunction. They had some issues. I would worship the ground my granddaddy walked on, but he had some dysfunction. Yeah, he did. We all do. And you know what? We come into our childhood. Childhood was whether we was born with it. I guarantee you, because of our childhood, and some of you was subjected maybe even to stuff even severe. And you come out of your childhood with a whole lot worse things. Maybe it's something kind of abuse or some kind of issues or stuff. And we come from childhood. We come into and to some degree, that was the story, not so much from my family, but from other issues. I come into my young adulthood with so much dysfunction, so much hate, so much anger, so much not knowing how to do life. I know when I got married, I didn't have a clue what being married was about. I had my own little idea, my own little mindset. I thought, you know what? I mean, I'd embarrass you if I told you what I thought marriage was about. Supper and laying on the couch. That's about what I thought. Maybe a few little things mixed in there and there, but I'll just leave that right alone right there. That's just what I thought. So dysfunctional. So messed up. Brung that right on into my young adulthood. Life a mess. So that's what I'm trying to say. We with our dysfunctions, whether with what we're born with or what we're raised through and what we come into our adult life with, we just all a little messed up. We all got a little dysfunction. We all got some problems that we just carry on and carry through, and we just, a lot of us have been crippled as children. Crippled as children. Through issues and stuff, and there's some dysfunction in all of us. But think about this. They would carry this man with this dysfunction. I want you to think about this. They would carry him every day to this gate, right to the temple, to the gate of the temple. Think about that. And in that day, I want you to realize this, in that day with the law and the ceremony, the way things were set up, he went as far as he could go. See, the gate was as far as a crippled man could go. This dysfunctional man. It was as far as he could. I want to tell you something. I believe that too. I believe there's a lot of dysfunctional people. They go as far as they can go. I believe our churches a lot of times have got a lot of people in them, just like this man who's sitting at the gate, and they've just went as far as they can go. I believe that. I know a lot of my life was like that. I wanted certain things. I desired certain things. I can remember. I didn't want to be some of the ways that I was. I hated some of the ways that I was. Do you remember those times? Do you remember hating some of the things that you were? Do you remember waking up one day and realizing, man, I'm everything that I hated. I'm everything I didn't want to be. It's just a real shocker, ain't it? And I desired. I didn't. And I would try. I would make stabs, and I'd go as far. I can remember. I'd make little runs at church. I'd make little runs. I'd go to the little church up there with my granddaddy again, where I was at as a kid, and it wouldn't affect me, but I'd go as far as I could go. I try. I remember I took a little stab at the Bible one time, barely able to read anything, but I took a little stab at it. I got three or four verses or five or six in, and I went as far as I could go, but it didn't make any sense. I didn't see nothing out of it. I took a little stab at prayer. I remember trying to pray, as far as I could go. I'd ask people for advice. I'd ask opinions. I'd say, what do you think? I'd ask my heathen buddies, what do you think about God? What do you, as far as I could go. That's what dysfunctional do. People do. They go as far. And I just want to tell you, I believe we got a world full of people that do go as far as they can go. Going right up to the far, to the edge, and getting to where they can get. I believe that tonight. But because of their dysfunction, they're just outside. Because he was crippled from his childhood or from his early life. Going just as far as he could. And here's where the story gets good, because this is where we'll see how Peter and John, who was a part of the new church, handled this situation. The Bible says in verse 2, it's this certain man was at the gate, and he was at the gate to ask alms, but when seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked alms. That's all he knew to do. He asked for what he asked for, a handout. Asked for something. That's what he knew to do. He was going as far as he could go. Surviving. The Bible says he asked for these alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. Peter had something in mind when he said, look on us. People that say stuff like that, they got something on their mind. Because I know in situations when I don't know what to do, I surely ain't going to say, look on me. Because I ain't got a clue. He had something on mind. Something was stirring in Peter. God was already moving. And the Bible says, yes, that he gave heed. Talking about the lame man, the dysfunctional man. He gave heed. I believe a lot of people would love to have some of us show up in their life and say, look on me. I do. I believe a lot of the dysfunctional world, a lot of our dysfunctional friends or family, I believe they're just waiting for someone to show up in their life who knows what to do. Who says, look on me. And they're not, and you're not saying follow me, but what you're saying is follow me as I follow Christ. That's what you're saying. I believe he was given confidence and he was given encouragement. Look on me, he says. And the Bible says he gave heed unto them, expecting now. Now he might have still been expecting money, but I believe things is ramped up. Because he knows this ain't just ordinary here. Because the ordinary day, it would have just been maybe a nickel or a quarter or a pad or good church people would have said, we'll pray for you. But his expectation has come up. It's rose to a place. Expecting something. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter, what did Peter say? You know what he said. This is a famous story. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have. See, that's a big key right there tonight. Because it's what you have. It's what you have allows you to say, look on us. If you ain't got nothing, you can't tell nobody to look on you. Look on us, because you got something. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have. Such as I have. What did he say? Such as I have, I'm going to give thee. Whatever I got. Now we're talking about to dysfunctional people. To a situation that's in a dysfunctional mess. And this is where I feel like the story really gets good. Think about this a minute. Here's what Peter's doing. Now, I was talking to Brother Davey a little bit about this Monday. Because I'd been rehashing it a little bit. That's what preachers do. We talk to one another and we're really just talking our messages. But here's what I know. Here's what Peter didn't do. Because here's where you're going to see the parallel between maybe sometimes how we handle things as a church and how Peter handled them. Because here's what I did. Because I am a preacher. I am. I love to preach. My mentality is if there's a dysfunction, if there's a mess, if there's a problem, if my family's got an issue, if your family's got an issue, if this church has got an issue, I'm all about, that's how come I was in this Bible study. I'm all about, let's dig in this word, let's search this word. I have pretty near read the Bible through before, looking for an answer, and you know what I get? When I get the word, here's what I do. When I get the word, I preach it. I preach that rascal. I preach a fire out of that thing. I find a word I think for that issue or for that dysfunction. I preach that sucker all sweaty and hot and bothered and passionate and fired up and scare people to death, make children cry. Make people think I'm on something. Because I'm a preacher. But then see, think about this story. Peter didn't preach to him. I already don't like this story. Because I think if you got an issue, and if you brung me an issue, that's what I usually try to do. I usually try to preach to it. And let me just say this. That's the way you handle a lot of things. There's a lot of things you preach to it. these bones are dead, preach to them. Face certain issues, you preach to them. If the lost is out there, preach to them. Come on. Or something. If there's a lack of faith, preach to it. But Peter don't preach to it. Sometimes maybe that's our issue in our families. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've had issues in my family that I think I made worse preaching to it. Any of you wives or any of you husbands ever preach to it? I'm not looking around. I've preached to some things sometimes that I think I made it worse. You know why? Because that didn't need preaching to. This will take discernment. This will take the unction of the Spirit of the Lord. This will take you being full-fledged into the power of the Spirit. This is full discernment, ready to go. Because some things got to be preached to, but in this issue, this dysfunction, he don't preach to it. I want you to think about this. This will really blow your minds, because I know we think we do this, period. Not only did he not preach to it, he didn't say, well, John, let's me and you go on in the house of prayer here and let's pray over this man out here that needs these alms. Let's see what thus saith the Lord. Let's go on in here and pray about it, church. Oh, I know it goes against your grain. And I'm not saying you don't pray it. There's some things that ain't going to happen unless you pray. There's some things you must pray. And you better pray hard. But sometimes in these dysfunctional issues or these situations like this where we find people like this man, I'm going somewhere. You don't preach to it? He didn't even pray about it. He didn't call in specialist. Well, let me get my Rolodex out here. Let me just see. You can tell I'm old school Rolodex. Oh my gosh. Let me get my Rolodex out here, said the modern day preacher. Let me see if I can find a specialist right here. You got children, strong-willed children problem. Let me see if I can find you a child, strong-willed psychologist. Here, young man. I found you a number. You call him Monday. I ain't throwing off on the way we do things and all that, but, well, I guess I am. I guess I am. Because sometimes, and none of that stuff even needs to be a part of it, does it? Think about it. He didn't do none of that. He didn't do anything on that wise. They didn't just reach deep. That's all he wanted was money. The church always tries to fix things by throwing money at it sometimes, don't we? Give that man $20, said the church board, he'll be all right. Not this church board, I mean. I'm just preaching now. This is a good church board, by the way. There ain't none of them here tonight, I don't think. But they a good church board. Praise God. They didn't need this message. I called every one of them, told them to stay home. I told them, y'all got this. I'm going to preach to the rest of this heathen congregation tonight. Oh, man. Whoops. But they didn't give him a handout. They didn't do any of that thing. That's what's so amazing about this story. Because here, everything that I would have done, everything that the church would have taught me to do, everything that systems would have taught me to do, they didn't do. Everything that religion, everything that I would have learned in my studies, everything, they didn't do any of it. They didn't handle none of it like that. And wouldn't you say they was quite successful? And like I said, It ain't that sometimes we don't preach to it. It ain't that sometimes we don't pray to it. It ain't that sometimes we don't call in the specialist. It ain't that sometimes we don't give it money or a handout. Or I don't really want to call it a handout, a help. A handout sounds kind of derogatory, don't it? A help. Amen. It's not that we don't do that. But in this story, and this dealing with dysfunction, dealing with things that we were born with, dealing with things that we were subjected to and things that we've grew up with, and things that's kept us from functioning in this world, functioning on a level that we're supposed to function at. I'm just assuming this man was already a believer. He's at the gate. He knows all the system. I'm just assuming all that in their system of religion in that day. I'm assuming he was an Old Testament Jew and he was a believer in God. I'm just assuming all that, or he wouldn't have been there to begin with at the gate. He knew all the works. That's the best place to get a quarter. He knew that. But here's how Peter and John handle this. The Bible says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. Now listen, this is what he says. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you see what they were doing? They challenged this man. Here's how I believe a lot of dysfunction should be handled. They don't need to be preached at or condemned. But some of them don't even need to be prayed about because you know the dysfunction. It was obvious. The man is lame or whatever the spiritual problem is. We see it. We know it. By your fruits we shall know you. We see the spiritual dysfunction. We don't have to pray, but now, Lord, show us this dysfunction. No, we know sometimes what we know the issues. We know someone. If you know, sometimes we might not know it in the light, the fullness of it, but we know. We don't have to pray about that. What did he do? He went right at his dysfunction. The very place he was weak at. The very place. And here's what he did. He challenged it. He challenged his dysfunction. The place that was making him unable to operate in life. It's like when I had an anger problem. That was my dysfunction. I couldn't get along with you. I couldn't get along with my family. I couldn't get along with nobody very long because if a little bitty thing, my anger would explode and we about to have a mess. It was my dysfunction. There was no peace when I was like that. I had a little alcohol and it just really got fired up and heated in. It was a dysfunction. And what Peter would have did to me, he would have come to me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get a handle on that, son. Get a handle on your anger. Get a hold to that. Or whatever it may be. I remember here not too long ago, this is even before I studied this thing, I was dealing with somebody, and ain't even nobody at this church, so don't even try to guess. I get more calls outside of this church than I do from y'all. It's the craziest thing I ever seen. It's crazy anymore. I get continuously things from other people that don't even go here. They go somewhere else. And I say, well, ain't you talked to? And they said, no, I didn't want to talk to them. I'm like, well, dang on, I don't really want to talk to you. No, I didn't say that really. I didn't really say that. But this particular individual was having trouble with pornography. Serious trouble. Ruining his life trouble. And I didn't even realize it, but that sort of thing, see, that sort of thing kind of gets on the inside of me, and I got a little Peter in me. I got a little John in me right that moment. I didn't even try to preach. I didn't try to tell him, you a dirty dog, you dumb, you stupid, you run. I didn't do any of that. I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to ask God, is this man watching pornography? Is this bothering you? I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't try to find a specialist to help him with his eyes and his computer problem at night. I didn't throw anything else at him. You know what I told him? I just challenged him. I said, you just need to cut that computer cord off. I said, I challenge you more or less. I challenge you just to stop that. I said, Job made a covenant with his eyes that he might not look on the fair maiden. I said, I just challenge you, man. Just stop it. Just stop it. It was a dysfunction that was ruining his marriage. Now, I ain't heard back, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he cut the cord. As far as I know, they're still together. Last time I seen them, they're still together. When I did see him, he acted like he ain't seen me in years. Of course, she was there. Well, and I did tell him this. I challenged him. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You go tell your wife all of that. You tell her every bit of that. You tell her everything you're struggling with this pornography. You tell her every issue about it. She'll help you with that. That's like I remember a man years and years ago told me he was having lust trouble with another woman. Lust trouble. He was telling me, I'm having this trouble. I said, tell your wife. I said, she'll help you. Now, you think I'm being silly, but I'm telling you the truth. She'll help you with that. Now, if you got the right wife, she'll help you with that. After she blocks your eye. She's going to help you with that. Y'all don't believe me, do you? It works. But it was a challenge. He come, Peter and John, they come and they challenge. And that was always, you know what, I got to think about it. When I seen how they challenged this man in the middle of his weakest place, the thing that had made him dysfunctional, the thing that had kept him from operating in the world, operating as he should, being the man he should be, or being the woman, being the husband, being the father, being the mother, being whatever, maybe some call. I've had to challenge preachers before. I've challenged them. That, hey, if you don't start loving your wife the way you're supposed to, you're going to lose her. Now, what good's that going to do? And win the kingdom. I remember, I challenged him. Amen. Right in the middle of the weakness. Didn't need preaching at. Didn't even need prayer. It just needs a challenge. That's how Jesus operated. Oh, there was times when there was devils, Jesus cast them out. That's how he handled it. When there was sin, Jesus dealt with it and would forgive it. That's how it was handled. But he would deal with these people who had these dysfunctions the same way that Peter and John did. He would come to them and he would challenge them. The woman caught in the adultery. Remember the woman, caught in the very act. Remember, right in the very act. The Bible says, after all these her condemners and accuser had left, he said, "Woman, where is your condemners?" She says, "I don't see." He said, "Well, I'm not preaching at you. Neither do I condemn thee. I'm not preaching at you." But she didn't get all free, did you? You know what he did? He challenged her. What did he challenge her to? Go and sin no more. Challenging you, lady. I'm challenging you. Go and sin no more. Don't do this. I'm challenging you. We're covering this. That's what our dysfunctions need. We need someone who can say, look on me and challenge them. The rich young ruler. Jesus handled him the same way. He said, what must I do to have eternal? What can I do? Jesus told him about all. I did that all from my youth. And then he challenged him right in his weakest place, didn't he, Whitlock? Challenged him right where his dysfunction was. Riches. His love of riches. He challenged him. He said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Challenge. See, this is where we fail. This is where we stay dysfunctional, or this is where we become functional. When we take on the challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Nazareth and his authority. We take the challenge and we take his power, his authority, and we meet that challenge. They ain't none of us going to do none of this stuff without the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't think you can meet the challenge in your own. You will have to be in His power, His grace, His mercy. I challenge you, have a great marriage. Well, you're going to need Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Challenge you to be a good mom or a good dad. Jesus always did that. To whoever. Now, like I said, there were situations. If there was devils, He'd fix them. They were sins and evil. See, this is the difference. This is how Jesus dealt. See, dysfunction is weakness. You've always heard me say this. There's a big difference in wickedness and weakness. Wickedness got to be handled different. But weaknesses, you can challenge them by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Ain't that right? Amen. Somebody say amen. 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 Man with the withered hand. What did He tell him? Of all people. With the withered hand. Jesus challenges him. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Woman at the well. Challenge you. Drink this living water. And you're not going to ever thirst again. Drink this water, lady. Get you a drink. Come on, have a drink on Jesus. Come on, have you a drink of life. Get you something that you'll never thirst. Get you a drink on Jesus. We challenge them like that every Sunday, don't we, Whitlock? Challenge you to come get a hold to Jesus. I challenge you to drink from the cup or you'll never thirst again. Challenge you. Challenge you to come to the altar and lay it all down. Challenge you to give it all to Jesus. Challenge you. You that's weak and dysfunctional, we challenge you to come to Jesus. You that's in the dark, we challenge you to come to light. They was successful. Jesus was successful. Nicodemus coming at Him at night, wanting to know these things. And Jesus didn't condemn him even for sneaking in at night. Didn't condemn him for being a Pharisee. Didn't condemn him for being, you know, all He did was challenge him. You got to be born again. That's just a challenge. You got to be born again. You want to see heaven? You want to see the kingdom of God? You must be born again. That's a challenge if I ever heard one. You got to be born again. That there would cover about 99% of our dysfunction if the church just get born again. Hey! You'd see some change. That changed families, changed neighborhoods, changed workplaces, changed marriages. My marriage was so dysfunctional till the day I got born again. And when I got born again in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I started to be able to function in this thing called holy matrimony. Hey! I learned how to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I learned how to humble myself. Woo! I didn't come to preach like this, but it's all right because God's in it. Amen. I didn't know how. I couldn't function as a daddy. I still regret the 7-8 years of my life that I missed with my oldest girl. Because I wasn't a functional father. I was a selfish father. Chasing all my own dreams, all my own passions, all my own desires. Doing what Lee Sarver wanted to do. And I lost it. I lost those years. But when I got born again, I said, I'm going to take that challenge. And I got born again. I learned how to function as a father. Now, I ain't always done it right. I still mess up. I still have to say I'm sorry. But I learned how to function. Lost my dysfunction. I didn't even know how to be a friend. I couldn't even be a friend. I think back then and years ago, those that I run around with, I think I hit all my friends in the eye at least once. What kind of friend is that? I think I hit a couple of them twice. But then I learned how to function when I was born again. It's about a challenge, ain't it? It's about a challenge. It's what Jesus did. It's what he did throughout most of his whole life in his ministry. It's what Peter and John did right off the bat as the early church. I believe it would do us good to use discernment and know this just needs to be challenged. This is just a mess. And you know what? I don't need to preach to this. I don't need to condemn you. I don't need to throw dirt on you. I don't even need to pray about it. I just need to challenge you. I don't need to do psychodrama on you. I just need to challenge you. Amen. I believe that. So that's what they did. They challenged this man. Oh my gosh, where has time went, y'all? Y'all need to challenge me that I do better with my time. I know. I'm going to go shut my Bible that way. I want nothing else to come to me. No, it didn't work. What they did? They challenged him. And you see what they did too? And it wasn't that their power was in them. And I don't know that this would always fit the case, but they went over and took hold. They challenged him, and you know what? Said, with everything that's in me, I'm going to help you. I may not have everything that needs this situation, but such as I have, whatever I can do, the best of my ability, all that God puts in me. Not only am I going to challenge you, but I'm going to lift you to the place that I can. I'm going to lift you as high as I can lift you. Somewhere in the midst of that, the Bible says that God strengthened his ankles and his feet. Oh my God. Woo! Hey! Wouldn't you like to be one next time? Wouldn't you like to be one who challenges someone who may be having trouble being a father or a mother or whatever? And wouldn't you like to be the one to challenge them? Man, be the mom that God's called you to be. God's blessed you with this and blessed you in this and blessed you. Wouldn't you? And then be the one who grab them by the hand and try to lift them as high. Some of you mamas who know what mamas about. You lift them as high as you know to lift them. And then God take over. Hey! That's where that Jesus Christ of Nazareth comes in. And the Bible says he grew strength. That's why I talk about a lot of my experiences, because that's all I'm doing. A lot of my past deliverances, that's why I talk about it. I talk about the addictions and the various things. I'm just here trying to lift somebody up to where, with all of where I've been. I'm just trying to, because it's somewhere in the midst of it, I'm just praying. I just believe when I go talking and lifting as much as I can, God's going to take over somewhere I'm praying. Hey, he fixing to take over and break loose on somebody's dysfunction. That's why I talk about marriage the way I do. That's why I talk about my experiences, mine and Cindy's rough years, because that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to lift up somebody who's right there in my 7-year fight. And trying to lift somebody. Waiting on God to take over. See, I know he can. I'll be celebrating I don't know the year now. I'm getting old. 33, 34, whatever it is. Long time. How long is it, Teresa? How long y'all been married? Was I ahead of you or behind you? Was I ahead of y'all or behind you? See? I think you're right. That's why I was using you. 33 years. I put you on the spot, too. It's hard to remember when you get our age, ain't it? Yep, good idea. 33. There it is. Hey, yep, Steph, 30 to 33. We're on it. Just trying to lift somebody up so God can take over. I'm glad somebody challenged me. I didn't realize it at the time, but I see now many times people challenge me. and it helped lift me up where God could take over. And this is how you can tell. I like the way I know I got to finish. This is how you can. Where's Paul at? Paul, you in here? Hey, Paul! Hey, Paul! That preacher ain't got a lick of sense. That's why you love me. I reckon. Maybe it's my dysfunction why you love me. What was I talking about? Huh? Before I hollered at Paul, what was I talking about? Daggone, I had, oh, this is how you know. See, it's coming back. It takes me a while. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. This is how you know. This is how you know that somebody's received strength in their dysfunction. The Bible says he received strength and he went leaping and praising God. You see what he did, Whitlock? He ran plumb through the church. The one who used to be outside, who'd went as far, good glory to God, the one who had went as far as he could go, had done, yeah, Jocelyn, yeah, one who had went as far as he could go there for years, had went as far as he could, and now God's done touched that dysfunction, and he's done run plumb through the church, done run plumb through, leaping and praising. I can tell you, I know for a fact, that when your dysfunction gets touched by God and you get functional, you can't help but leap and praise mighty God. Hallelujah. You can't help it. Woo! I reckon how many sleepy church folk he woke up that day when he run through the building. I can see them now. Just one of them regular old Sundays, you know. Church people are. When the Holy Ghost stirs them, when the Holy Ghost wakes them up, somebody, and I can hear them now. There's probably five or six of them on the same pew, and he buzzed by the wind, praising, leaping, shouting. All of them probably said, wasn't that the him. See, I went back to my hometown church after the Lord made me functional. I said, I'm gonna give that old hometown church one more try. After the Holy Ghost done lit my life up, done made me functional, taught me how to love sin, he loved my kids, act like a man. Huh? I said, I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna check out that, because it was a lot closer. Good day. It wasn't but 2 miles up, it wasn't even 2 miles, mile up the road. Good day, I was driving to Indian Valley. Good grief. I said, I'm going to go up there. And I went up there, and I was like that leaping and praising man. And oh, I didn't actually hear it, I could feel it. Ain't that old hateful, that old drunk, that old drinking, that old running around, that old cheating, that old eye but blacking, ain't that... You know what they told Cindy? All her friends told her, give up. Just give up. He ain't gonna change. He ain't gonna change. They's preaching at me. They's condemning me. I don't think any one of them ever challenged me. Just give up. But I'm gonna tell you what, when God makes you functional. I said, when God makes you functional. What it takes to. That's why they said, when Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's what makes us function. Ain't anything else. Ain't no games. That's what makes it's Jesus Christ. Come on, let's stand. I done preached way past my time. Oh, Jesus! In this place tonight, if you hear you got dysfunction, you got issues, you got things. whether they're small or whether you're still working on them or whether you're in progress, whatever the issue, whatever, ever where you're at, ever where it's found you, I will just challenge you tonight. Wherever your weakness is. Oh, I said wherever your weakness is. You know your weakness. Wherever your weakness, whatever's making you, whatever's keeping you from functioning at the level you're supposed to be functioning. Oh, I just call on you tonight. I just challenge you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Rise up. Rise up out of that.